Welcome to Secure Podcast. This is Mike Matrenga, your host. And today we have the ladies from Barron County Public Schools in Kentucky, Lori and Shell. And so today, guys, we want to talk about some really important stuff that I know that they're seeing in the K-12 industry out in Kentucky. And I think this is something that's happening throughout the United States. And that's the importance of, or the risk, I guess I should say, of cybersecurity and online safety for kids, and how we need to really start focusing on that as we are living in a more technologically advanced society. So without further ado, Lori and Michelle.
Hi.
So how are y'all today?
Hey, we're good, Mike. And thank you for having us back on again. And as you said, Shelly and I, and not just here in Barron County, but we know everybody everywhere is the root of probably most of what we deal with, you know, in a school day. Especially it's the root of, you know, those things that are being carried in every day. And the more that we could do to educate our kids, and maybe more importantly, our parents about what they can be doing on their side of things, I think would be just very helpful. Shelly, do you agree?
Well,
I know before we get started, for you viewers, I thought that I would dress it up a little bit today and wear something formal.
Yes, we love it.
So I hadn't seen the ladies in a while. We haven't done a podcast in a while, so I figured, you know, why not for the occasion?
But, I mean, a black tie event for you. I mean, this is amazing. We feel very
we're honored.
Yeah, we're very honored. I mean, you really dressed it up. Took it top tier.
You know, sometimes I got to dress it down sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, today I just decided that, you know, dress it down a little
bit. Love it.
I mean, most of the time when I'm sitting in my home office, I'm wearing a tuxedo, like a real tuxedo. So that I feel like I'm actually doing something, I'm productive and being professional. So.
Yes.
But no, on a serious note, you know, I know this is something that's near and dear to your heart, and you guys are really, you know, leading the path there in Kentucky. And, so I guess my question would be is, over the last year or two, how frequent are you seeing that these online threats are becoming a problem? How frequent?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I would say probably 98% of the work that we encounter every day in our district is rooted in some sort of technology, you know, and oftentimes it starts outside of the school building, but then it comes in and, you know, manifests through whatever. And yeah, I mean, what do you think? So?
I agree. Yeah. And Mike, as you know, and you've seen a lot of times it's, you know, for the most part, it's not, I'm going to shoot up the school at 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning. We all know it's typically just not that, specific or direct. It's so many other things, like I'm so fed up with the school, or I'm so tired of this group of kids and they better watch out, or even not even those things. What we're seeing a lot more of, I think, is quotes from song lyrics or movies that are kind of indicating. And I know we talk a lot about those behavioral threat assessments, but that's one of the things that we've been preaching to a variety of groups that we've been talking to, is that don't just be looking for that direct threat, because it is likely not going to be that. What we deal so much more with is just the hints of things, or the things that we talk all the time about, that, you know, one of our administrators will say to us, you know, my spidey sense is tingling when he's worried about something. And we like to use that analogy a lot. So we tell people all the time, when your gut is telling you something's not right, we need to look into it. But those, I think, Shelly, would you agree, are much more of the of what we're seeing with our kids online? You know, not only the disrespectful behavior between, you know, between them, but also the just the hints of things that they're talking about doing, you know, outside of, or, you know, at school or other places.
Right. All the leakage that happens through either text messaging, social media posts, that kind of thing. And I think what we are, we're really working hard to do, is you got to train your students what to look for. You got to train your staff. You got to train, you know, other adults that this is serious. You know, when you see this, just report it. That's all we need, is a report. And, but it's becoming, I think, so commonplace to see these things, especially on social media. You know, we've talked to our kids, especially our high school kids, whether it's suicidal ideation, other innuendos about harm on some level, they say they just scroll past it, you know, because they see it so often. So,
I mean, that's one of the one of the things that you just said, and it was kind of coming to mind as you were talking, was leakage, right? Yeah. And, you know, having been in the threat assessment game for a long time and you guys doing this every day now, you know, I think that the problem is that those that are assessing these particular types of behavior are looking for that direct threat, what we would call a direct threat, versus that veiled threat, where, you know, it's not so in your face like, hey, I'm going to come in at 9:22 a.m. into my high school with an AR-15 with 500 rounds of ammunition, and I'm going to kill X, Y, and Z student.
Right.
That's what I think most people think that they should be looking for, but it's not that. It's the veiled threat. It's the subtle, you know, clue that something is going on in this kid's life, or it could even be a coworker that is, like you said, it makes that spidey, you know, gives you that spidey sense, make the hair stand up on the back of your neck or your head. For me, it would not be my head. And so I think that's the thing that we need to convey to people, is that these students and the most of the majority of American society is communicating electronically primarily all day, every day.
Right.
We can't simply just be looking for that one, you know, obvious threat that is very direct. There are multiple signs and symptoms of this leakage, and it is a progressive behavior as we watch something that maybe doesn't sit right in a technical communications from a student or even a staff member. We have to continue to monitor that type of behavior. The problem in America is we just don't have that many people and resources to do that in great magnitude. And so, I agree with you guys. I mean, you know, I guess the next follow-up question would be is, I think that the majority of people are also thinking that on a day-to-day basis, we're getting threats that are mostly attributed or related to like active shootings. Would you say that though you may get those occasionally, the likelihood of something like that is very small versus a child or student that's talking about, you know, self-harm or going through a breakup, or they're emotionally depressed and they have or suffering from anxiety due to some life event? You say that what's the percentage wise, you know, it doesn't have to be scientific or anything, but what do you think, how often are you seeing that versus a direct threat?
Oh, I think primarily that's what we see. You know, I think in the time that Lori and I have been doing this work in our district at the district level, I don't even know. We probably count on one hand, you know, the direct threats. But, you know, the majority of everything else we deal with are usernames, posts on social media, things like that, concerning posts that just don't sit right. And here's the thing too,
and overwhelmingly harm to self, Mike.
Harm to self,
as you mentioned, or that anxiety piece. Those are hands down what we see the most of, for sure.
But if you think, we have this graphic that we show in our trainings, it's the pathway to violence, and you know, to get you on the pathway are our risk enhancers, okay, risk factors, and just the things you mentioned, Mike. It could be a breakup. It could be their home life has just gotten all disrupted, you know, so they're already dealing with these life stressors, and we know behavior is communication. And oftentimes people don't have the eloquence to just sit down and say, hey, listen, Lori, I'm really struggling with something. I need to talk about my mental health. You know, we would love if that was the case, but most people just don't feel comfortable doing that. So those behaviors are going to come out in other ways to get somebody to pay attention. You know, and so what we teach and what we believe in is once they get on that pathway to violence, you've got to observe those behaviors and you got to have conversations and you got to look for those clues and that leakage so you can intervene early, because those kids that are adults too, you know, that continue on that pathway and do not get the help that they need or those supports put in place just to give them an avenue to get those feelings out or to talk about what is going on in their life. It is
Mike, what you mentioned, the harm to self, the anxiety, and even what, you know, and Shelley's talking about, Those are all things that we see, but very rarely, as you said, the direct threat. Mm-hmm. I agree with Shelley. Probably a direct threat for us, you know, maybe on one hand, as she said, but insinuating mm-hmm. those things, absolutely. But definitely the I'm anxious, I feel lonely, I you know, I'm thinking about harming myself. That is overwhelmingly what we see. Mm-hmm. One of the big things too we want to talk about in this too is when any of those things are happening, unfortunately, we find kids seeking connection. Mm-hmm. somewhere. And we talk a lot to people about be very mindful of the isms. And Shelley does such a good job when we train about talking about those. And, you know, what there are some things here you really need to be mindful of, you know, some ideologies that we need to pay close attention to when our kids are seeming to have some interest in those.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, they're wanting to affiliate. They're wanting to be with a group. And if they don't have a positive group to belong to, that's human nature. We want to belong to something. Yeah. They're
going to
find a group.
Yes, they are.
Everybody always has a sense of wanting to be welcomed, yes. you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, I think that a lot of the problems that we have today are attributed to the decline and degrade of our moral compass as a society. Mm-hmm. And technology and the emergence of technology and social media has allowed people to be uglier than what we're really designed to be because there's no consequences there. And so,
absolutely.
You know, I always tell parents, like, you know, you don't have to be the helicopter parent, but definitely be in tune with what your kids, mm-hmm. you know, doing online, have some protocols in place and some hard and fast rules, you know, of what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we can't parent everybody's kid. And right. I think that there's this misconception that, you know, in the United States, that that's what schools have become is a secondary parent. Absolutely. And we're here to guide and teachers are, and administrators are there to guide, but they're not there to teach your kids what they should be learning at home. And there should be some hard and fast rules when it comes to technology and how you utilize it responsibly. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, I really think that, you know, as we kind of evolve as a society and we're continuing to do good work in this space, it's going to take a lot of us to continue to keep talking about self-harm, suicide, bullying behavior, narcissistic behavior, and then providing just and I don't even want to say resources, but a lot of the time, all these kids need is just someone that they can trust, right? Yes. And I think research has shown that if a kid has a trusted adult or two mm-hmm. in their life, the likelihood of them being on a pathway to violence is significantly reduced. And so, like I always tell people, you know, in regards to like school resource officers, like, yes, I love the fact that there are school resource officers on campus to enforce the law if they need to, but that should not be the primary reason why they're there. It should be to establish relationships and be a trusted authority figure mm-hmm. that these kids go to when they need help. And sometimes all they need is just someone to go ask them, are you okay? Yeah. That your discipline has increased, your academics has decreased, your attendance has decreased. What is going on? Mm-hmm. And just that affirmation to that child that someone was watching,
mm-hmm. absolutely
concerned,
yes.
is approaching them from a non-punitive mm-hmm. Perspective. I believe that that's the way that we really stop this stuff. And if we can stop suicides and self-harm, then we can reduce the amount of those students or individuals who want to physically attack other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, and we know, and you know too, that oftentimes, you know, people that are considering mass acts of violence or have been a part of doing that found statistically overwhelmingly they were suicidal before they were homicidal. I mean, and we know, and as you said, Shelley says this all the time, and she says this when we talk to students or staff or adults, whoever this is, the most powerful question that you can ask anybody is what you just said. Are you okay?
Are you okay?
And, you know, and then we expand on that, you know, share with them that they may not be ready to tell you at that point, you know, but at least somebody asked the question. They notice that something is not is just not, you know, right at this moment. Yes. And I'm concerned. It just sends a good message. But more times than not, and I love what you said too. I think just that direct, just saying, I'm worried about you. I've noticed this. You know, help me understand, what can I do to help you? You know, is such
the greatest huge. Protective factor you can have as a trusted adult. And I think in our opinion, as you already mentioned, if you've got that, you've got one of the largest protective factors that you can have.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to ask the questions. I think some people are uncomfortable, you know, going down that road, and it doesn't have to be complicated. You know, you just ask them that question, you know. And
I think we're going to have some shirts made that just say, are you okay?
Exactly. Yes.
Think about it. I mean, are you okay? People will ask that. Hey, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Are you okay? Yeah. That's what it means. Are you okay? You know, it's a way to engage someone without being so direct. Right. And so, all right, you hear it first on the Secured Podcast. We're going to do a t-shirt that says, are you okay?
That's right. Exactly. So nobody can steal that. We've already got it. Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope somebody asks me that, Mike, every time Shelly tells me I'm number one, if you know what I mean. So.
Right. Sometimes.
Yeah. She tells me that a lot, Mike. I'll just tell you.
Well, it's well deserved. I need to pass that on. Let her remember.
That's
give
true.
Her that. Yes, that's exactly right.